Welcome back to In Focus on News Radio KMAN here on a very cold Monday morning. We're talking with Cheryl Collins from the Riley County Historical Museum. We're talking city names, or city street names, I should say. And I got a message here from Brian McNulty, actually. He's up at Tuttle Creek, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Apparently, he has a 1950 aerial photo that is pre-Tuttle Creek Dam. So it answers the Casement Road question we had a little bit ago. He says it does not look like Casement Road has moved since the dam was put in. He can see several landmarks in the curves north of the radio station look pretty much the same in the photo. So thanks for that.
Generally, I think they did. If there was an established road, it would take something significant to move them off it, because it's a lot easier to keep what you've got than to blaze new trails. And which is another reason why a lot of roads follow earlier trails, like the Oregon Trail. There's, you know, consistent roads follow those. Those trails often were established in the easiest route through the territory, so it makes sense that roads then would be built on top of those more established trails.
If I'm not mistaken, the interstate system follows the Oregon Santa Fe California Trail pretty closely.
For a long time, yes, I think it does. And then with the interstate system, of course, politics came in.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and it was important to be on established roads. I mean, just like the railroad, having a railroad was crucially important to the development of a town. Then later being on an interstate or close to an interstate was very, very, very important. So you can see why political decisions would factor into that.
Oh, here's a quick question. So Juliet Avenue, where would you say the road ends? Does it end when it goes up the hill there and becomes, what, Ehlers Road? Or
I don't know exactly when Ehlers Road was built over Blumont Hill, but my assumption was it was, you know, Juliet went up Blumont Hill, but then did not go over to the other side, because Tuttle Creek Boulevard there is along where I assume there probably was a wagon road over there, but it wouldn't have been a major roadway, and it'd be a lot easier to go around the hill to get to the wagon road than to go up and over the hill. I think they tended to avoid going up and over hills whenever they could. So that's my assumption. Maybe I don't know if I'm right or not.
That might explain why, you know, there's not a whole lot of roads that cut through there then, even today.
Right. Because, you know, if you're thinking horse and wagon, you wouldn't want to strain your animal going up hills if you could go around them with at least a reasonable ease. So, but there were roads that were pretty up and down. I think of Stag Hill Road, and what I've heard is when the trolley car was built going out to Fort Riley, that going over Stag Hill was really a roller coaster ride. Mrs. Fletcher told me that she and her mother rode on the trolley car when it first was opened up. And when they went over that hill, her mother screamed because she was so afraid when they went. It really was like a roller coaster ride, she said.
That's awesome. That would have been really neat to experience at some point.
I wish we did still have the interurban between Manhattan and Fort Riley. And then, of course, Junction City had their interurban system that went to Fort Riley. So you could ride from Manhattan to Junction City on the interurban. That would be really terrific if we still had that today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I guess some other roads we're going to talk about here. Points Avenue is one that's well established here in the community. It goes right through the heart of Manhattan.
Right. It's our main street. And of course was called Points Avenue from the very beginning. And I believe it was named for Colonel Nathaniel Points. There's some confusion about this because sometimes his name is given as John Points, but after researching it a little bit, I do think that his name was Nathaniel. Now, of course, Colonel Points never came to Manhattan. What he was one of the major investors in the Cincinnati and Kansas Land Company, and that was the group that sponsored the Hartford Steamboat. So, and of course, the Cincinnati and Kansas Land Company was the company that paid for the survey and map of Manhattan to be developed. So and the majority of street names, at least according to Simeon Fox, were people from the Cincinnati group and not the Boston group. Well, if they paid for the map and were naming the streets, I'm sure that's why they got most of the names. And Points was one of those names. So Colonel Points was born about 1791 in Pennsylvania. And he lived in Maysville, Mason County, Kentucky, which is a community on the Ohio River, not too far from Cincinnati, Ohio. He owned a large tannery with his brother, and he seemed to be a property investor as he had land in several states. He and his wife had at least five children, and one of his daughters was Rebecca Points Davis. And she came on the Hartford Steamboat with her husband, Joseph Davis. And I'll mention that my understanding is her middle name is Juliet. So I heard it speculated in one place that maybe she's the Juliet of Juliet Avenue. But I only saw that in one place, so I don't know. So Rebecca Points Davis and Joseph Davis came on the Hartford Steamboat, but they didn't stay here real long. At least by 1860, they went back to Cincinnati. And Colonel Points, who never came here, died in 1862, and he's buried in Kentucky. So I think it's interesting that one of our main streets is named for a fellow that never set foot in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that that would be the case, but need to get to find out the history behind that. I got to take a quick break, Cheryl, when we'll come back and we'll talk about Anderson Avenue here next. I think that'll be a fun discussion. In Focus continues after this on News Radio KMAN.